sight. As the eyes begin to open and the blindness meets the light. If you have so say, I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life, blessed in living color. I see the world your way, and I'm walking in the light. Have you ever awesome. Seen
so
the
glad
wonder?
You're here this morning. Welcome. My name's Jeremy. I'm a pastor here at Chandler Life Church. It's my incredible wife right there on the front row. So if it's your first time, hopefully we already got to say hi to you. If not, come say hi after the service. And let me pray for you, and let's dive into the Word. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house today. We just ask that you would speak to us right where we're at. We open up our heart to you, and we say, your will be done in us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. That was a pretty weak amen, but, you know, all good. Thank you. Thank you. Just leaving me hanging up here, you know, whatever. We started a series a couple weeks back called Divine Direction, and we're going to wrap this series up this week, and so hopefully it's been beneficial and helpful to you. Our world just gives us so many options, and sometimes because we have so many options, we just don't know what to do, or we're seeking God's best, and we're just trying to find clarity on that. And so I want to talk today about having faith to start. Sometimes the hardest step in the journey of Christianity is the first step. Sometimes the hardest step in doing something new is the first step. And we can take so much time and believe in planning and preparation. It's essential. In fact, it's crucial. If you're not doing it, then that's not good. But we can take so much time planning a journey that we never actually leave on the journey. Or we can get so engrossed in the details of the journey, we plan it to impossibility. And we create so much around it that we don't even, we get overwhelmed by the amount of options or the amount of things that we've planned. We don't know how to execute it. We overcomplicate it. I liken it to so many things in the Christian walk is like buying IKEA furniture. And I'll prove it to you, right? When you see IKEA furniture at the store, it looks so easy to assemble. You look at your table, it's got four legs and a tabletop. And you think, this is going to take me a good 35 seconds to put this bad boy together. You get it home and you get this tiny little box and you're wondering, how in the world did they get this giant 6-foot table inside this 3-foot box? Wow, this is really weird. And so when you unwrap it, you look at it and you had no idea that four legs and a tabletop could come in 37 different pieces and an illustration table that's in 26 different languages, which English you can never find. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, my Lord, what do I do? And so while you're being overwhelmed with it, you do what? You just simply begin. And those of you that are really great with putting things together, you bust out all your tools and you're pre-drilling stuff. You're like, this is a dumb idea. I'm gonna bring my own brackets. I got these other things, and you're putting it all together, and it's no problem for you. But for those of us that are not so great with that stuff, we look at it and we're like, oh, I should have went to school for this. I don't know what to do. And so when you look at it, you simply have to begin. It's maybe overcomplicated, but sometimes the best way to get things going is just to begin. And so it takes, when it comes to IKEA furniture, it takes faith to start, and it takes what? Faith to stay in it, right? In the same way in life, it takes faith to begin the work, and it takes faith to stay in it. And so sometimes we give ourselves an excuse, and we opt out when things aren't going as well as we'd like, or we're not going that direction, it's not going the way that we dreamed that it would go. So what do? We bail, and we think, well, we must have to do something else. No, sometimes it takes faith to stay doing what you're doing, and sometimes it takes faith to begin a new thing. And so that's why it's crucial that we have the Holy Spirit speaking to us in our life, that we understand the season that we're in and that what God is trying to show us. But I want to speak more specifically on having faith to begin. And sometimes what we do as Christians is we become almost unsure of where we should go and what we should do. And one of the ways that I in my own personal life have kind of rooted out, hey, what's God trying to show me? What's God trying to do? Is something the old-time Christians, like if we've got some, we don't call them old Christians, veteran Christians, right? We got some veteran experienced Christians up in here. And one of the things they used to say was it was called a divine burden, right? It was a burden. It was like God put this burden on us to do something, to pray for something, to make something happen. And what that looks like is really just something that's consuming your thought life, something you're thinking about regularly, or often sometimes it's things that we misinterpret, right? We're angry about something and we think that everybody else is noticing what we're noticing. But really what it is it's God showing you something in your life and it's breeding frustration that nobody else is seeing it. And so the old timers called it a divine burden. So if you're struggling to find what you're supposed to start and what you're supposed to do, simply ask yourself, what do you wish somebody else would fix and fix that thing? We can often find what God's called us to do by the things that make us angry, that frustrate us. I had an intern one time and he came up to me and he was just mad, just all worked up. And he's just like, Pastor Jeremy, nobody cares about the lighting system of this church. And I look up there and I see 3 bulbs are burned out and the color gels don't match and the patterns are all off. And he's just angry and he's had this all stored up and built up and he's just letting it go. And this is the house of God and we should care and heaven's the light show. And he's got this weird view of all these different things and he's just mad and frustrated and just angry. And I looked at him and I just said, hey, have you ever thought that maybe God is calling you to work in this area? Because I haven't seen any of those things, nor do I care. You saw 4 bulbs burned out. That's new to me. I'm here every day. I had no idea. You're talking about lighting scenes. What is that? I just hadn't even thought about that. And he stopped and he never thought that maybe he had a unique perspective on something. And really, it wasn't just something for him to be angry and complain about, but that God was trying to reveal something in his own life that he should simply begin. And so he went on a journey, and now he recently was offered a position at one of the largest churches in America to run their lighting system. He's now consulting with other churches, building them lighting and stage design and all of this crazy stuff. And it all started with something that he was mad about, something he was mad about. And so we've got to often find out what God is speaking to us about, and if nobody else noticed it, stop yelling at everybody else and simply just begin. Sometimes it's not starting that takes faith, but restarting that takes faith. Sometimes we judge future dreams by past results. You tried a diet, you ate lettuce for a week and you gained 3 pounds. And you're like, how did this happen? I'm never doing this again. In fact, I never should have done it to start with. This other stuff tastes so much better. But what are we doing? We're judging future dreams by past results. And so sometimes we got to have faith to restart. Sometimes it's, man, I want to get out of debt. You and your wife get an agreement, or you personally, you're praying. You're like, I'm gonna get out of debt. This is the year where I am debt free. And the minute you make the decision, your car breaks down, your house burns to the ground. I don't know. Crazy stuff happens. Bills pop up. Things come out of nowhere. And what happens? You're like, man, I was trying to get out of debt, but then I got to fix my car, or I got to fix this, or my kid. If you got kids, for some reason, your kid decided they were evil Knievel, and now you're taking them to the emergency room, and you got that copay and that insurance. Hello? You're like, oh, Lord, please help me. How am I going to pay for this? How am I going to do this? And what is it? You just kind of throw in the towel on it, and sometimes it takes faith to restart a good thing. So I think there's this great story in the book of Joshua that really illustrates a lot of what can happen in our own personal lives. And you got to get a little bit of context of what was happening with Joshua. So Joshua was the guy that is called Moses' assistant. He's helping him. He's doing all of these different things. And he's one of the two guys who goes as a spy into the promised land, sees that it's great, comes out, and Moses says, hey, give us a report. And Joshua's like, we'll kill everybody here. We'll take all their stuff. God has ordained that this is our land. I'm like, that's my kind of guy. I like that. He just goes in the land, and he wants to clean it up. Then another guy says the same thing, and then 10 other guys are like, nope, it's scary. We're not interested. I know God split that whole Red Sea thing. I know he freed us from, captivity. I know that he rained manna from heaven and took all care of that, but those guys are big, okay? They're big, and so we can't handle it. And so what happens? They end up wandering in the desert for 40 years because they didn't have the faith to go in. So here's Joshua. An entire generation dies off, and here he is, Moses' right-hand guy. And he's next in line, right? Could you imagine what he's feeling? Finally, 40 years goes by, a new generation's trained up, and he has to do what God is calling him to do. And I love this verse in Joshua chapter 1. And we won't have it up on the screen for you because I'm going to bounce around a little bit. But Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to go through verses 6 through 9. But there's a couple things that he says here. He's speaking to the angel of the Lord, and it starts this way. He says, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance to the land which I swore to your fathers. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And then he goes through some things that he needs to do so that he can prosper. And then verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What's the spiritual significance of him saying three different times, only be strong and very courageous? None. He was scared, and he needed to hear it that many times, right? He was nervous. He was afraid. Why? Because he's next in line. So God simply says to him through his angel, says, hey, be strong and of good courage. You've been preparing. You're ready. Why? Because it takes faith to start. So three different times he says to him, only be strong and of good courage. I'm going before you. You got this. Don't worry. Keep my word at the forefront of your life. Meditate on the things that I'm telling you. And then at the end he says, only be strong and of good courage. At some point in your life, we have to go from talking to doing. Some point we have to stop talking about our dreams and start doing what it takes to get our dreams. Maybe that looks like a class on the weekends. Maybe that looks like getting your business license. Maybe that looks like filing paperwork for the new business or the patent or whatever it is that you're looking to do. But you have to stop talking about someday and make today that day. Otherwise, you'll get so overwhelmed with the details that you'll never begin. I don't necessarily, me personally, the way I'm wired, I don't struggle in this area. I struggle with the preparation. I'm like, let's do this thing. I'm the guy who wants to jump out there, just start, no plan, out in the wind. This is awesome. This is an adventure. The planners are like, oh, sweet God Almighty, this is going to crash and burn. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just having a great time. It's how I'm wired. So I need faith to stay, right? But some of you here that are great planners, you plan to the hilt. You got everything down on a spreadsheet. At some point, you have to stop planning, and you got to start doing. You got to start doing. And so sometimes it takes faith to simply begin. And God fight for random people to do a task that they were uniquely unqualified for. I'm going to say that again. God called people to do a task in the Bible that they were uniquely unqualified for. Not uniquely qualified for, but uniquely unqualified for. Joshua is Moses' assistant. He has no military background, and now he's a war leader. Who trained him in the arts of the kung fu? I don't know. All I know is that God told him, hey, this is what you're gonna do. Don't be afraid. I'm going before you. You got this. And he's probably like, okay, I'm just gonna simply begin. He called people who were completely unqualified for what they were called to. David's a shepherd boy. He didn't know anything about kingdom politics. Hey, guy who herds the sheep, you're the future king. What? What does he know about dealing with other nations? What does he know about politics and handling the affairs and dealing with all the money and all the economics and building a kingdom from nothing? He doesn't know about any of that stuff. He is uniquely unqualified for what God called him to do. Nehemiah was a cupbearer, but God called him to go rebuild a wall. Man, he didn't know anything about construction. He didn't have a background in it. I've been preparing my whole life. I've gone to school. I'm ready. No, he's uniquely unqualified to do what God called him to do. Who do you call when you need a wall built? Not the guy who holds a cup for the king. All he does all day is stand there with a cup. That's his job. That's what he does. But you know what? God spoke to him about it. He got angry about it, so he went and did something about it. Gideon was the least of his family and the least of his people. He was scared and he was in hiding. You know who you don't call to set people free? The guy who's so scared he's hiding in a cave. If you have to pick and you're like, man, I got one person that is going to free Chandler from the grips of Phoenix. I know, I am going to call because we're tired of paying their taxes. We're tired of, no, you don't call the guy who's hiding out in a cave waiting for people to steal his stuff. You don't go airplanes and find like, you're like, I need like special forces ninja guy who jumps out of airplanes and it's just like, he's a machine. He's an absolute maniac when it comes to war. That's the guy that I need. No, you don't call the guy hiding in the corner, but that's who God called. Moses was called to be God's mouthpiece and he had a stutter. Think about it. Go through all the Bible and I'll tell you all this so you feel better about what God's probably calling you to do. You simply have to have the faith to begin. There's the old saying that God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. And I've just found it simply to be true in my own life, that some of the things God is calling my wife and I to do and calling you to do and calling us as a church and for some of the things we're trying to get started, I'm like, man, we don't have the background for this. We don't know what we're doing. We don't know how to do any of this stuff, but we have a burden to do something. And so we can either sit there and talk about it for our whole lives or we can simply begin. It takes faith to begin. You see, sometimes we want to wait and have everything in place before we start. I think there's a lot to when it comes to preparing, to building a good foundation. And so we never want to not plan to the detriment of everything falling apart, but we also don't want to plan to the detriment of things simply never beginning. So if you believe that God's called you to do something big, I want to give you just a few brief steps on how you can build something big. Here's how you do it. Number one, start with something small. I didn't say dream small. I didn't say think small, but take a small first step. Joshua didn't immediately win the war. No, he just gave instructions. The angel of the Lord shows up to him and says, you got this. You're going to conquer this whole land. How did he do it? He crossed the river. he grabbed his guys. He said, all right, tomorrow at this time, get some rest because this thing's on. We're going for it. We're going to take a step. We're going to go in the direction that God has called us. If you want to build something big, find something small that you can do now. If you want to be the greatest giver in a church, start with what you have. Don't wait till you have more. Because something that I have found is if I'm waiting till I have more, I never do anything with what I currently have. See, God is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And oftentimes, we forget about the God of today, which is about doing something with what you have now. Do something small. File a business license. Make a new relationship. Send an email to meet with a person that you have no business meeting with. What can you do that's small to get you on the path to achieve something that's big? Number two, thank God for every single victory, even if that victory is just another day. I love this. Joshua gets all the people together. In the verses following, they begin to march the people of Israel out. And the Bible says that he does a miracle. It splits the river thing that they're trying to cross, and they get across it. And you know what Joshua does? The very first thing that he does. He could have kept going. He could have just marched on. But he stopped, and he gave a moment to give thanks. He built an altar, and he got everybody involved, and he said, all of you, bring a rock. That's your only job. Find a rock to represent your people and bring it here. And they built that rock. They named the place, and what are they doing? They're thanking God for a victory and what will be a long journey of hopefully lots of victories. Find a way to gain victory in everything. Sometimes victory looks like outlasting the problem. Sometimes victory looks like not throwing in the towel. Sometimes victory looks like, hey, I may got beat up through this entire process, but I stood back up. Sometimes victory is a miracle in our finances. Sometimes victory is a miracle in our marriage and our relationships. Don't just let those things pass by like they're no big deal. Take time to say, God, thank you for the victory that you've given me, because it begins to become fuel for the journey that's ahead of you. Because now you've marked it, and you can look back later, and you can thank God for what he did. When we don't thank God for the victories that we have, I promise you, you forget about them. They slip away. You don't remember them, and they only come back to your remembrance when it comes through a story, through another individual. But if you'll take time to thank God for it and mark that occasion, it becomes something that can build your faith along the journey. Galatians 6 and verse 9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, but in the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. I love the first part. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Why did God say that? Because it's possible to grow weary in doing a good thing. We know it to be true. The things that are most beneficial to us, we often avoid. You know why I don't run a lot? I know it's good for me, because it's a bummer. It's not any fun. There's like 12 people on the whole planet that enjoy it, and they're weird. The rest of us are like, if I add up how many miles for the last 5 years I've run, I could probably put one of those marathon stickers on the back of my car, and people will think I'm cool. What is it, like 18.5 or something? I'm like, yeah, I did that in 10 years' time. Boom, got the sticker. I know it's good for me. I know I should be doing it, but you know why I don't? Because it's easy to grow weary in a good thing. Our point, weary in a good thing. The second part of that verse builds us into our point, our next point. It says, simply do not give up. Number three on how to do something big. So simple, not so easy to live. But don't quit the race simply because you stumbled. Don't quit the race simply because you stumbled. Through the years, I hear people make the funniest excuses of why they give up on certain things. And it happens. We do a thing every year. We do a 21 days of prayer, and that's coming up this fall. And we do this thing. It's like, hey, pray for 21 days if you're feeling real bold, like maybe fast during those times. And we just do it as a church. It's something that we started last year that we're going to continue on, be a part of our church in the future. We give 21 days to praying for our country, praying for our families. We send out topics every single day via text. It's an awesome thing. It's a great experience. But through the years, when we do the fasting portion of different things, it always makes me laugh when some of the things people will say as I'm talking to them. I'm like, how'd you do? How'd the fasting go? And they're like, you know, they want to lie to me, but then they don't know what'll happen. I was like, what'll happen if I lie straight to the pastor's face? Like, for just some reason, just feel guilty about it. And so they kind of hesitate, and I'm like, you caved, didn't you? Like, oh, it was like 11 o'clock at night. I was so weak. My spouse was making something delicious for the kids. Or no, this happens all the time. Those of us with kids, maybe you're fasting, you make food for the kids, and you just subconsciously pick up that tater tot and toss it in. You're like, oh, no. Or it smells so delicious, and you're like licking your fingers for the frosting. And then what do? We messed up. So what do? We throw in the towel on the entire week. You're like day two, you gave up. You're like, well, there went that. I'm done. Really? Like, if you miss the turn when you are driving, do you just go home? We are so weird. Like, I missed the turn. I'm going home now. I missed it. I blew it. I'm throwing in the towel. I was on my way to go to the game, but I missed the turn. I know I paid $150 for those tickets, but I missed the turn. I'm driving home, and you walk in the room full of shame, and you're like, babe, I missed the turn. I couldn't go to the game. I had to turn around and go home. That sounds so stupid. But that's what we do with spiritual things. Like, I'm going to do a year of Bible reading every day. I got my 360-something days of Bible reading, and I'm going to read through this bad boy. I'm on day 12, and I forgot it. There went that. Toss the Bible in the corner. There went my reading program. You miss a week. You start reading. You're like, I'll never catch up. And you just throw in the towel. Why do we do that with good things? Why do we do that with our dreams? Why do we do that with spiritual things? We make a mistake. We stumble. So what do? We give up on the journey that God's called us to. Can I encourage you? Don't throw in the towel on the journey simply because you stumbled. Pick yourself back up and simply start again. We eat healthy. We throw in the towel. We start a prayer routine, we throw in the towel. If you miss a day, just start again. Repent for it and move on. It's not the end of everything. You don't have to give up. You don't have to throw in the towel. Simply pick back up where you left off and get going again. When you're praying and you're trusting God, you're trying to have the faith to start. Can I give you something that really encouraged me? Actually, I heard another pastor say this, and I really appreciated it when he started his church. He said, I didn't have the faith to know how it was going to end. I only had the faith to start. You don't have to have the faith for the ending. You just need to have the faith for the beginning. And if you're willing to start small, you don't have to have that much faith to simply begin. I think sometimes we read the Bible, and it's like, they're like, I got faith to move mountains. You're like, I don't got faith to move a pebble. They got faith. You hear guys, maybe they or women have been saved a really long time, and they just, it's like listening to them. I had an instructor in Bible college that listening to him was like listening to a modern-day apostle. My wife and I were just talking about this the other day, and when he would speak, it was like the Bible just coming out of him. There was so much faith, so much authority. His name is Kenneth Hagin, and he was one of the modern-day fathers of what we call the Word of Faith movement. And he's just this titan of faith. It was incredible. And sometimes I would sit in his class, and I'm like, how did he get there? He took a step. He took a step. When he was a young Christian, he didn't have the faith for it. But he started with something. Sometimes, rather than waiting to wonder how everything's going to turn out, just believe God that you can have the faith to begin. A small step in the right direction may be the greatest step in your life. If God seems late in coming for your big dreams, don't grow weary in a good thing. And when we determine we're not going to grow weary in a good thing, when does it all happen? In due season, you'll reap a harvest. When is that season? No idea. I can't answer that question for you because I believe it's different for every individual. That season was when God has built something in you to help you with the next season. See, here's what the Holy Spirit does. This is what we're not great as Christians, and hopefully this isn't too philosophical for you. But what God does is God is getting us to plant seed for the next season while we're reaping in the current season. He's great at getting us prepared for what's coming down the road that we don't know about while we're reaping in our current season. And we as Christians, we just want to reap what's for the future without reaping what's going on right now. So we don't want to be faithful with the dollar. We want the 10,000 that's in front of us. But God's saying, no, I got to build something inside of you in this season to prepare you for what you have for next season. Maybe he's got plans for you to be a great business leader. You can't handle any criticism. Well, if you get the platform and the stage in your industry, what do you think's coming your way when you're at the top? Criticism. And so maybe he's trying to build something in you now. Maybe he's trying to teach you how the small things work. So someday when you're leading big things, you remember what it's like. So that when the people work for you, you don't do the things to them that happen to you. See, God isn't interested in you skipping steps. He's interested in helping you have the faith to take a step. A step. I'll end with this thought. Look what happened with Peter. Jesus is walking on the water. He's a man of faith. Nothing going on is bothering him. And Peter says, hey, if that's you, that's you. Speak the word only. I'm coming out there. And Jesus is like, come on out. It's me. And Peter is the only guy willing to get out of the boat. What did he have faith for? A step. And the Bible says that he took a step. I've been trying to walk on water since I was 5 years old. You do the whole run through the pool thing, and you're like, your feet are going a million miles an hour. Anybody else do that when they were a kid? Some of you do as an adult. It's okay. You don't have to admit it. But you're trying to run on water, and what do? You sink every single time. That guy walked on water. That's incredible. But what happened? He only had faith for the beginning. And then he started looking, and he didn't understand the destination. And as he got focused on what he didn't know, he freaked out and he sunk. Guys, don't stress out about what you don't know. Just start with what God's given you. Simply have the faith to begin. Father, I pray for every person that's here. And I ask, God, that you would direct our steps. That your word is so clear that the Holy Spirit leads and guides us into all truth. And Lord, I believe there's people here this morning that you've been speaking to them about beginning. And I also believe there's people here that you're speaking to about staying in the fight, staying planted where they are, not giving up and not throwing the towel. God, wherever they are, whatever journey, wherever it applies to their life, I pray that the Holy Spirit would speak to them right now to encourage them and to give them clarity in every circumstance and situation. In Jesus' name.
I see the Jesus way. You're the wonder in the world. I see the world your way, and I'm not afraid to follow. I see the world your way, and I'm not ashamed to say so. I see the Jesus way, and I'm walking in the light. I see the world in light. I see the world in wonder. I see the world in life, bursting in living color.